Welcome, brave souls, to another spine-tingling episode of Our Scary Stories. I'm your host, your spectral guide to the unknown, inviting you to dim the lights, grip your blankets, and let your imagination soar into the darkness. You may feel a shiver crawl up your spine or hear a whisper in your ear. Don't worry, it's just us. Tonight, we unravel a tale spun deep within the heart of the Amazon, where the line between life and death is as thin as a spider's thread. Are you ready to walk with us down the Silk Road? Then let's begin. The late afternoon sun slanted through the window blinds, casting bars of golden light and shadow across the room. The atmosphere inside the university lab was stifling, unusually warm for a climate-controlled environment, suffused with the smell of antiseptics and pressed paper. Among a landscape of microscopes and petri dishes sat Dr. Samantha Avery, her eyes squinting at the computer screen before her. An encrypted email had just popped up in her inbox. With fingers tingling from anticipation, she entered her password. The email opened to reveal blurry photographs of something that made her arachnologist's heart pound, an intricate spider's web, its design unlike anything she'd ever seen. And then there was the spider, an odd fusion of darkness and iridescent colors that refused to resolve clearly through the blurriness. "Is this what I've been waiting for?" she whispered to herself. The email noted that the specimen was found deep within the Amazon rainforest, and that a small sample of the web had been retrieved. It was resilient, exhibiting properties that seemed almost supernatural. She felt a surge of adrenaline. Fame, it seemed, was a mere expedition away. The bright, overhead lights of the conference room shone down on a sleek table polished to a mirror finish. Around it sat Dr. Marcus Quinn, Ranger Diego Alvarez, and Julie, a young but determined documentarian. Dr. Avery paced at the front of the room, her eyes gleaming with a mixture of excitement and scholarly passion. "Thank you all for gathering on such short notice," Dr. Avery began. "What we are about to embark on could revolutionize our understanding of arachnids. No, our understanding of material science itself." A lab assistant entered the room carrying a small glass box containing a section of the unidentifiable web. She placed it in the middle of the table. "See for yourselves," Dr. Avery gestured toward the box. Dr. Quinn leaned forward, his environmental scientist's mind buzzing with possibilities. Could this material solve countless issues? He picked up a pair of scissors and tried to snip a section of the web. The scissors failed to make even the slightest incision. He frowned and looked at Dr. Avery. "This is impressive." Diego felt the weight of the moment, but also a twinge of unease. He grew up with stories of the forest's mystical powers. To him, the Amazon wasn't just trees and fauna, it was a living entity. "Are we sure we should be doing this?" he finally spoke, his voice tinged with worry. "Why the hesitation, Diego?" Julie chimed in, her camera already rolling. "This is groundbreaking. Can you imagine the documentary we can make out of this? The world has to know. We must respect the jungle as much as we yearn to explore it," Diego responded, eyes meeting each of the team members. "It has ways of protecting itself." But Dr. Avery was undeterred. "We've traced the origins of these samples," she said, pulling up satellite scans on a projector. A red circle focused on a dense part of the forest. "This is where we'll find more of these spiders. This is our Silk Road." Julie caught Dr. Avery's enthusiasm on her camera, then panned to Dr. Quinn and Diego. She wanted to capture every nuance, every emotion. This would be her magnum opus. She was sure of it. Diego crossed his arms. His sense of responsibility as a guide, and as someone who revered the forest, was at war with his curiosity. Dr. Quinn, entranced by the material, seemed to forget his scissors failure as he envisioned eco-utopias built from this mysterious silk. And so, a fragile alliance was formed, each compelled by their own desires. Dr. Avery looked at her team, her mind racing ahead to the scientific papers, the fame, and the inevitable accolades. But beneath the layer of anticipation, something darker lurked, something she couldn't quite identify. It was as if the room had momentarily chilled, like the shadow of a cloud passing over the sun. "We leave in 3 days," she announced, not noticing the ever-so-subtle change in temperature. "Pack what you need. This will be a journey like no other." But what they couldn't know, what they couldn't even fathom, was that their lives were about to entangle in ways far more complex and terrifying than the intricate patterns woven by their eight-legged subject. And somewhere, deep in the Amazon, under a shroud of leaves and darkness, Something waited. Something that had been waiting a very long time. The suffocating heat greeted them as they disembarked from the airplane, each of them carrying a sense of excitement laced with trepidation. The Brazilian sun was roofless, its rays amplified by the asphalt of the makeshift landing strip. But it was the air, the thick, moisture-laden air, that took their breath away. It was like stepping into a different world, a primeval world, where every exhalation and inhalation was a struggle. Dr. Samantha Avery peered at the trees in the distance, an almost impenetrable wall of green that constituted the Amazon rainforest. For her, it was a fortress to be conquered, an uncharted territory where she would find her glory. Dr. Marcus Quinn, for his part, felt his mind reel with thoughts of environmental applications for the incredible silk they were there to study. Julie's eyes glinted as she shouldered her camera, already framing the shots in her head, imagining the narrative she would build. Only Diego felt a sobering sense of gravity as he looked toward the forest. The trees were not just vegetation, they were ancient, sacred, and full of secrets. He led the team towards the boats that would take them deeper into the forest, passing crates of supplies and equipment along the way. The boats, narrow and wooden, glided through the chilling black waters of the Amazon River. The river seemed to absorb light, its depths hiding creatures and currents that could pull a man under in seconds. Sounds of the forest enveloped them, high-pitched calls of distant birds, the rustle of unseen animals in the dense foliage, and the constant, buzzing drone of insects. Overhead, the forest canopy converged into a continuous roof of leaves, allowing only shards of sunlight to penetrate. Dr. Avery noticed a slight tremor in her hands as she clutched her notebook. "Are we close?" she asked Diego. "We'll reach the designated spot by sundown," he replied, his voice tinged with reluctance. As the sky darkened, casting eerie silhouettes of trees against a deepening blue backdrop, the team made camp on a raised embankment. Diego looked around, visibly perturbed. "What's bothering you?" Julie asked, flipping on her camera to capture the process of setting up the tents and arranging equipment. "Old tales, that's all," Diego mumbled, helping Dr. Quinn unload supplies. "No better time for a story," Julie coaxed. "Come on, it'll add a layer to the documentary." Diego sighed, looking toward the forest as if seeking permission. "Fine, but don't say I didn't warn you." They gathered around a small campfire, its flames doing little to fend off the encroaching darkness. Diego cleared his throat. "My people have stories about the forest, many stories. But relevant to us is the legend of the weaver. It's said to be a spirit, a guardian of sorts. A weaver spins webs not just between trees, but between worlds, between life and death." The flames flickered as if in agreement, casting a restless dance of light and shadow across the faces of the team. Dr. Quinn scoffed lightly. "Folktales, Diego. They're charming but hardly scientific." Diego looked into the fire. "Science doesn't have answers for everything, Dr. Quinn. Some wisdoms are older than your methods." "Let's not argue," Dr. Avery interjected, her voice revealing a touch of unease. "We have a full day ahead of us tomorrow." Julie leaned in, her camera capturing Diego's solemn expression. "Well, I, for one, think it's captivating. It adds a level of depth to what we're doing here." Diego simply nodded. "Remember, we are but visitors. Respect the forest, and it will respect you." Though the others soon turned in, Diego stayed by the fire, lost in thought. He sensed something he couldn't quite place. It was as if the air had thickened, the weight of unseen eyes pressing down on him. He threw another log into the fire, sending a cascade of sparks upwards, each flickering briefly before being swallowed by the darkness above. And in that darkness, in places untouched by human hands, threads of an otherworldly silk began to stretch and weave, crossing not just between trees but between fates. The expedition had become a part of a story much older than any of them could imagine, a story spun long before their arrival, but one that would not be complete until long after they were gone. Morning light filtered through the layers of foliage, casting a dappled pattern on the forest floor. The air was ripe with the smells of damp earth and decaying leaves, a heady aroma that was the very essence of life and death in a never-ending cycle. Dr. Samantha Avery stepped out of her tent, clutching her field journal and taking a moment to breathe it all in. She had always found solace in the wild, but the Amazon was different. It had a primal vitality that was invigorating yet, in some indefinable way, unsettling. As the team broke camp, Marcus Quinn could hardly contain his excitement. Today was the day they'd collect their first samples. Julie was busy recalibrating her camera. "You guys ready for your close-up?" she said, flashing a smile at Dr. Avery. Diego, already packed and scanning the trees with a wary eye, responded to Julie's levity with a forced smile. "Just make sure that camera captures everything, all right." As they ventured deeper into the forest, the air grew denser, almost viscous, as though it were filled with the breath of the countless lives that had called this place home. Overhead, parrots screeched and monkeys howled, the forest echoing with a cacophony of voices in a language only it understood. And then they saw it, the first web. Unlike the simple, symmetrical webs they were accustomed to, this was complex, an intricate pattern that looked as if woven by an artisan, its threads shimmering with a silvery, metallic sheen. Trapped in it were several small creatures, a butterfly, a beetle, and even a bird, each perfectly preserved, almost like ornaments on a grotesque tapestry. "This is incredible," Dr. Quinn exclaimed, taking out a pair of tweezers and a specimen jar. He attempted to snip a portion of the web, but the tweezers merely skated across the silk, unable to cut through. "This stuff is stronger than steel." Dr. Avery, peering closer at the trapped creatures, felt a shiver crawl up her spine. "They look almost peaceful, don't they? As if they've been put on display." Julie zoomed in with her camera, capturing the gleaming silk and its victims. A masterpiece and a mausoleum, all in one. The duality is haunting. All the while, Diego watched them, his eyes narrowed. They were awed, captivated by the gruesome beauty before them, but they were not listening. They weren't hearing the softer sounds beneath the louder ones, the rustling that wasn't just the wind, the skittering that wasn't just random. "I don't think we are alone," Diego finally said, his voice low. It was then that they saw it, a spider. But not just any spider. It had a body the size of a grown man's palm, spindly legs angling out geometrically, and a color scheme unlike any they had ever seen, deep blacks offset by vivid reds and iridescent blues. Dr. Avery felt a mix of fascination and horror. "That's the specimen we're here for," she whispered, reaching into her bag for a containment jar. "Wait," Diego's voice was edged with urgency. "We don't know." But it was too late. As Dr. Avery reached out to capture the spider, it moved with astonishing speed, disappearing into the foliage. "Darn it." Dr. Avery clenched her fists. "Maybe it's best not to disturb them," Diego insisted, a hint of sternness creeping into his voice. Dr. Quinn sighed. "Perhaps Diego is right. This is their home, after all. But the web, we can study that, at least." Even as he spoke, the weight of their actions settled over them. They had come to this place of ancient equilibrium and inscrutable laws with their own desires, to document, to discover, to exploit. And though none would voice it, each felt it, the growing sense that they had violated some sacred boundary. What none of them saw, in their preoccupation with the web, was the way the forest seemed to close in around them, almost as if it were watching, judging. And somewhere, in the hidden recesses where human eyes couldn't see, more webs were being spun, threads stretching and crossing in intricate, complex designs. Designs that were, unmistakably, growing larger. Morning mist swirled around the team as they navigated through the labyrinthine heart of the Amazon. Vines snaked from overhead branches, and the heavy scent of moist soil mingled with the floral undertones of blooming orchids. The atmosphere was almost dreamlike, a natural wonderland rendered all the more surreal by the shafts of sunlight piercing the canopy in narrow beams. Yet, the beauty failed to lift the cloud of unease that had settled over them. Marcus Quinn clutched his sample bag, which now held segments of the strange, unbreakable spider web. In a sober tone far removed from his earlier enthusiasm, he said, "We need to get these samples analyzed. The sooner we know what we're dealing with, the better." Dr. Samantha Avery glanced at her GPS device, her brow furrowed. "We should reach the rendezvous point by tomorrow, if we keep up this pace." Julie was walking ahead, her camera floating from one mysterious sight to another. "Guys, come look at this," she called out as she ventured a bit farther to capture what seemed like a cluster of exotic flowers. Just as her camera focused, there was a faint rustling, a sound distinct from the vibrant hum of the Amazon's daytime choir. Julia's instinct screamed, making her turn. But she was met with emptiness. The forest swallowed sounds just as readily as it did secrets. A shrill, sudden cry jolted the rest of the team. Their heads snapped in the direction of the sound, Julie's direction, but she was no longer there. "Julie," Dr. Avery's voice trembled as they ran toward where they'd last seen her, the muffled thuds of their boots sinking into the earth, punctuating their rising fear. They arrived at an empty clearing, framed by trees and adorned at its center by a human-sized web. It was as if a dark artist had scaled up their earlier discovery, weaving a grander, more terrible tapestry. And then they saw it, a shred of fabric hanging from one of the web's edges, its color and texture hauntingly familiar to Julie's clothing. Diego's face hardened, his eyes, always alert, now aflame with a mix of anger and dread. This cannot be. It just can't be. Frantically, Dr. Quinn took out a portable scanner from his bag, conducting an immediate analysis of the enormous web. His eyes widened at the results. This isn't just silk. There are elements here I can't identify, substances that don't correspond to any known organic compounds. For a moment, they all stood in stunned silence, the weight of their situation sinking in like quicksand. It was Dr. Avery who spoke first, her voice tinged with disbelief and a grim kind of resignation. What have we stumbled upon? Diego looked up, his eyes meeting each of theirs. Something ancient, something that was never meant to be disturbed. A weaver doesn't take kindly to trespassers. As they absorbed his words, they were engulfed by a sensation that was almost tactile, a feeling that the forest itself was aware of them, that its eyes were countless, and that it did not want them there. The hairs on the backs of their necks stood erect, as if the air had thickened, filled with the electricity of a gathering storm. But worse was the realization, which dawned on them in that grim moment, that they had wandered into a realm where the boundaries between the natural and the unfathomable were hopelessly, terrifyingly blurred. And somewhere, concealed within the unyielding shadows and among the serpentine vines, their unseen observer plotted its next, insidious move. Time felt like a suspended droplet, clinging desperately to the leaf's edge before it was fated to fall. The team could almost hear the proverbial ticking of a clock, counting down to an unknown but increasingly dreadful event. While the vibrant hues of the Amazon, the emerald greens and scattered blooms of colorful flora, had initially felt like a paradise, the sheen had dulled. Now they seemed warped, like an impressionist painting slowly melting into a Salvador Dali nightmare. Diego, holding a machete, led the way with the air of a man steeped in purpose. If the weaver is real, we have to respect the forest's law. It's time we started heading back. Dr. Avery looked at Marcus, who nodded. Agreed. Whatever we've found here, it's bigger than us, bigger than science. No sooner had they decided to retreat when an abrupt movement in the corner of their vision stole their attention. Shadows were coiling and bending, as if shaped by an invisible force. And then, from the darkness shot tendrils of web, silvery and almost ethereal, but moving with the purpose of a predator. Diego had only a moment to scream before the web enveloped him, pulling him off his feet and into the air, his body hanging suspended from a nearby tree, bound tightly in a silken cocoon. Dr. Avery and Marcus reacted instinctively. Run! Marcus shouted, his voice tinged with a primal fear that neither had heard from him before. They dashed through the thicket, dodging low-hanging branches and skipping over gnarled roots that seemed to twist and snap at their feet. They had to put distance between themselves and whatever malevolent force had claimed Diego, and, presumably, Julie. In their frantic rush, Dr. Avery took a wrong turn, veering away from Marcus. She soon found herself isolated, in a part of the forest dense with foliage and shrouded in twilight dimness. Her breath was ragged, each inhalation tasting of moist earth and decaying leaves. Then, emerging from the shadowy undergrowth, came a figure so grotesque it seemed ripped from the pages of a forbidden grimoire. A spider, but not just any spider, a monstrosity easily the size of a human, its legs long and tapering, its body covered in coarse hair that glinted with an oily iridescence. It had too many eyes to count, each a reflective pool of ink-black darkness. The weaver, Dr. Avery whispered, half in awe, half in horror. The creature made a sound, a low, guttural chittering that bore an eerie semblance to laughter. It moved closer, its limbs articulating with a graceful, almost balletic movement. But Dr. Avery noticed something else. A part of its thorax bore markings, geometrically intricate designs that mimicked tribal tattoos. Were they natural, or something more? Was the weaver merely an animal, or something that transcended the boundary of what she knew to be life? Fascination was quickly replaced by raw fear. The weaver lunged, its front legs extending toward her, each tipped with a jagged barb that dripped with a viscous fluid. Dr. Avery screamed, instinctively dodging. She couldn't die here, not in this twisted Eden, a pawn in a larger game that she could neither comprehend nor accept. She had to survive. There was science to be done, truths to uncover, even if those truths shattered her understanding of the natural world. But as she found a narrow path and bolted, she couldn't shake the disturbing thought that had nested in her mind. The Weaver didn't just belong to the Amazon. It was the Amazon, its twisted soul, its dark consciousness. And as she navigated through the labyrinth of trees, pursued by a monster of legends and nightmares, she pondered the unfathomable. What if the forest, with all its teeming, chaotic life, was but a web spun from the dreams and nightmares of an even darker, more enigmatic power? Dr. Marcus Quinn felt like a man running through a house of mirrors. Each thicket looked identical to the last. Each tree seemed to mock him with its silent, wooden grin. But then, a revelation broke through the fog of his frantic thoughts. Water. He remembered reading about how some spiders avoided water, their webs often losing their tensile strength when wet. Darting his eyes around, Marcus noticed a slight depression in the forest floor up ahead, a natural collection point for rainwater. Rushing over, he dipped his fingers into the small puddle that had gathered there. As if in response, the air seemed to grow dense with an almost electric charge. Marcus retraced his steps, his soaked fingers brushing against the edges of the silken strands that still hung in the air like forgotten streamers at a ghostly carnival. As he had hoped, the water reacted with the webbing. The strong, almost steel-like fibers began to wilt, drooping like wilted flowers. A feeling that he could only describe as cautious hope surged through him. At the same moment, Dr. Samantha Avery, still feeling the adrenaline coursing through her veins like liquid fire, emerged into a clearing. A voice cut through the silence. "Samantha, over here." It was Marcus, standing by the trapped form of Diego, who hung from a tree like a grotesque ornament. With water from his canteen, Marcus was dissolving the webs that bound Diego. Minutes felt like seconds, but they managed to free Diego, his eyes filled with a mixture of relief and unspoken dread. He rasped, "We have to find Julie." But when they did find her, the sight was beyond heart-wrenching. Julie had become part of a grandiose tapestry, her body enmeshed in a cathedral of webs, forming some form of grotesque art. Her eyes were vacant, as if her very essence had been drained, woven into this tapestry of horror. There's no way to free her without. Without, Marcus couldn't finish the sentence. "We can't save her," Diego interjected, his voice tinged with a sorrow that seemed as old as the forest itself. "This is the Weaver's sanctuary. It's where the line between life and death is spun into thread." They backed away, making their way to the riverbank where their boat was docked. But Dr. Avery hesitated. She looked back at the forest, her eyes meeting what she knew was the hidden gaze of the Weaver. "You go," she finally said, her voice barely above a whisper. "Samantha, are you insane?" Marcus couldn't believe what he was hearing. "This place," she said, her voice tinged with a dark obsession, "is the discovery of a lifetime. I can't turn my back on it." Marcus looked at her, his eyes searching hers for some sign that she would relent. But instead, he saw only an abyss, a chasm filled with an insatiable curiosity that verged on madness. With a heavy heart, Marcus and Diego boarded the boat, the motor roaring to life as they made their way back to what they could still consider the real world. But as they glanced back, they saw Dr. Avery receding into the depths of the Amazon, swallowed by the green maw of leaves and shadows. Her voice, tinged with both wonder and an unfathomable despair, echoed in their minds. "Some webs can't be broken, only woven anew." Marcus looked at Diego, both men sharing a tacit understanding. Humanity had encroached upon a realm it had no jurisdiction over, provoking a guardian that existed beyond the scope of science and folklore. They had frayed the edges of a cosmic tapestry, and now, whether they liked it or not, they had become threads in a narrative that neither science nor legend could fully explain. The boat sped on, leaving behind the unseen eyes of the forest and of the Weaver to watch, to wait, and, inevitably, to spin again. Ah, you made it to the end, or should I say, the beginning of your nightmares. Thank you for joining us on this treacherous journey through the Amazon's silk-spun maze. I hope the story has woven itself into the darker recesses of your mind, where it will reside, lingering, waiting, perhaps even inspiring a nocturnal visit from the Weaver himself. Sleep well, dear listener, and remember, some webs are not meant to be broken, only woven anew. This is our Scary Stories signing off for tonight.